The Acts of the Holy Apostles, verses 1 through 5. Burkett notes, the most illustrious life of the Holy Jesus being recorded at large in the foregoing Gospels by the several evangelists whose names they bear, this next book of the Acts undertaketh these three things. 1. It recommends to our observation and imitation the lives and actions of the holy apostles, particularly St. Peter and St. Paul, and acquaints us with their fervent zeal and unwearied diligence in planting and propagating Christianity, not only in Judea and Samaria, but also in Syria, Asia, and Macedonia, yea, even to Rome itself, where, by way, note, that there is not one word in all this history of St. Peter's primacy, of his authority over the rest of the apostles, or of any bishopric that he had at Rome, the least intimation of which would have made a louder noise than Pacis Over or Tuae Petrus. 2. We have here an ecclesiastical history of the first and purest churches, informing us how the Christian church in its infancy was planted and watered, gathered and propagated, both among Jews and Gentiles, how she observed and obeyed Christ's command to his apostles, both in matters of faith, worship, communion, and government, that therein the primitive church might be an exemplary pattern to succeeding churches throughout all ages. 3. This history gives all the ministers of the gospel to the end of the world a great and noble pattern of ministerial diligence, faithfulness, and prudence, acquainting us with what the apostles did, the pains which they took, the hazards which they ran, in preaching the glad tidings of salvation to a lost world. How they instructed the ignorant, reduced the wandering, how they bear with the weakness of some, and patiently contented with the obstinacy and perverseness of others. Like wise stewards of God's family, they gave the whole household their portion of meat in due season. Chapter 1. Burkett notes, this first chapter relates, 1. The time and manner of our Lord's ascension, 2. The 120 disciples' joint devotion, 3. The election of Matthias by lots to succeed the apostleship in the room of the apostate Judas. Verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Burkett notes, observe here, 1. The penman of this sacred history, St. Luke, the same that wrote the Gospel, which he calls his former treatise, dedicated both that and this to the same Theophilus. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. Observe, too, the time when St. Luke wrote this holy history and the place where, namely, when he was the companion of St. Paul, and as some think, during the time of his imprisonment at Rome. If so, we may profitably remark the favor which God gave the apostle and his companion in the sight of the keeper of the prison, that they were not denied pen and paper. When persecutors send the saints to prison, God can provide a keeper for their turn. But how do the apostle and his companions spend their time in prison? Very advantageously. The former, in writing epistles to the churches for their confirmation. The latter, in recording the acts and monuments of the holy apostles for our imitation. There is no such way to be even with the devil and his instruments for all their malice and spite against us as by doing all the good we can wherever we come. Satan had better have let those two holy men alone than to have cast them into prison, for by their pens they battered the walls of his kingdom and make them shake about his ears. Observe 3, the integrity and impartiality of this historian, St. Luke. He wrote of all things Jesus both did and taught in his gospel, and what the apostles did and taught in the Acts. Not that this was to be understood strictly and absolutely, but comparatively only. Not as if St. Luke recorded every action that Jesus did, or every expression our Savior said, for St. John says there were so many that they could not be written, chapter 21:25. But by all things we are to understand very many things, the most principal and chief things, everything that the Holy Ghost thought fit to dedicate to him and enjoin him to publish for the church's use and service. Learn thence that St. Luke was a very faithful and impartial historian, withholding nothing which was necessary for the church to know, and leaving no room for unwritten and uncertain traditions. I have wrote all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Burkett notes, observe here the special concern and care which Christ had for his church on earth before he ascended into heaven. The very first night that he appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, he breathed on them and distributed the Holy Ghost among them. St. John 20:22. Both to inform their judgments of what they did not know and to direct their practice, what he would have them do. He, through the Holy Ghost, gave commandments unto the apostles. That is, he distributed the Holy Ghost amongst them to be their constant instructor and director, what they should do in order to the execution of their office and employment. Learn hence that as the apostles had, so the ministers of Christ in their measure shall have, the gracious and special influences of the Holy Spirit to direct and instruct, to quicken and support them in the faithful discharge of their ministerial office to the end of the world. That gracious promise, lo, I am always with you. St. Matthew 28:20. We that live 1,700 years after the first making of it may by faith draw out the comfort of it, as well as the apostles to whom it was originally made. Verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Burkett notes, observe here, 1. The time which our Lord spent here upon earth between his resurrection and ascension. It was 40 days. Christ could not presently ascend into heaven as soon as he was risen, but thought fit to stay some time with his disciples, to confirm their faith in the belief of his resurrection, and to satisfy them that it was he himself, their Lord and Master, that died for them, that was indeed risen and now appeared to them. He was seen of them 40 days. Observe, too, what our Savior did in that 40 days stay upon earth. He showed himself alive unto his disciples, appearing sometimes to them and giving them many infallible proofs of the verity of his resurrection by eating, drinking, talking, and conversing with them, by showing his wounds to them and submitting himself to be touched and handled by them. Not that Christ's conversation with his disciples in his exalted state after his resurrection was so frequent and familiar as it was before his death, when he was in a state of humiliation. And accordingly, we never read, I think, that Christ ever lodged or continued all night with his disciples after he was risen from the grave, but he conversed with them only upon occasion, as he pleased himself and when he pleased. Observe 3. What our Savior said, as well as what he did, in this intervening time betwixt his resurrection and ascension, being 40 days. He spake to his disciples of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That is, 1. Of the things pertaining to his church militant, or the kingdom of grace here on earth, how he would have his church planted and propagated by the apostles' doctrine, guided and governed by their discipline, or 2. By the kingdom of God may be understood the church triumphant, or the kingdom of glory in heaven, what perfect bliss and happiness he was now going to prepare for them in the presence of his Father, where note that Christ's kingdom is purely spiritual, that Christ's spiritual kingdom is his church, and the preaching of the gospel is the great instrumental means for the erecting of the kingdom of grace and enlarging of the kingdom of glory. Verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Burkett notes, note here how frequently Christ renewed his promise to his disciples of sending down the Holy Ghost to confer upon them the gifts of tongues and miracles in order to the fitting and furnishing them for their work of preaching and publishing the gospel to all nations. Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That is, the gifts and graces of the Holy Ghost shall be largely poured forth upon you as water upon the baptized person, which was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. When Christ calls his ministers to extraordinary assistance, furnishing them with endowments answerable to their great employments. Note 2. The place where Christ commands the apostles to wait for the descent of the Holy Ghost upon them, namely, at Jerusalem. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise. Of all places, the apostles would least have chosen Jerusalem to tarry in, had not Christ commanded them to wait there. For Jerusalem was now a justly abhorred and detested place, reeking afresh with the blood of the holy and innocent Jesus. Yet Jerusalem is the place chosen by Christ for the pouring forth of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, because 1. There had been his greatest humiliation. There Christ had suffered the greatest ignominy. Therefore, there will he show forth his power and glory. 2. Because at Jerusalem there was the greatest company of spectators to behold this noble work and to be wrought upon by it. Such as would not be convinced of our Savior's death and resurrection might probably be convinced by his miraculous effusion of the Holy Spirit descending upon the apostles in fiery cloven tongues. Lord, what an instance was this of thy love to thine enemies! How desirous wert thou of the conversion and salvation of thy very murderers! In and at Jerusalem, where our Lord was crucified, the Holy Ghost first descended. And when Christ appointed where the gospel combination should begin, Jerusalem is the first place in nomination by him. Luke 24:47. And he saith unto them, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.